Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Pet Food Alpha. We are the podcast bringing you the biscuit on all the latest Final Fantasy XI news, community, and more. This is a special episode. This is episode 75, part 1. We will get into part 2 later on. But my name is Steak.
My name is Fusion X.
And my name is Taken.
Right, and, as you guys know, last weekend was the Fan Fest.
Woo-hoo.
So we had some people over there, myself, Ty, and Mr. Coffee all went to represent the greatness.
I gotta let you know, I'm insanely jealous that I was not able to.
You're going next year. I don't care if you have like triplets coming. You're coming. that's how it's gonna go.
Yeah, so sweet. So overall, what'd you guys think? Was it pretty cool?
It was awesome. Pretty damn good.
It was awesome.
They put on a great show. I mean, shout out to all the guys at Square Enix. I know, Matt, dude, you kick ass. I know you were working really hard, man. You looked stressed out.
I was sweating all over the place. He needs more sleep, guys.
Seriously, man, you guys pulled off a great event. I know a lot of it was because of all your hard work. So props to you. And props to Yasu Kurosawa. Because everybody is like Yasu Kurosawa. All right, we're going to jump right into this episode. Of course, what a better way to do it than with the intro to FanFest 2007.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Final Fantasy XI Fan Festival 2007. Can I hear an applause out there? Without further delay, it's showtime!
All right, good stuff. I know I was.
Oh my god!
Really,
I wish I was there. Oh
really
my gosh!
Freaking pumped, like the music.
Like the music gets me all.
And
pumped.
A curtain
I'm
drop
like,
too.
Aw.
They had this curtain set up and dropped.
Yeah,
and, like Hiromichi Tanaka was like right there. Like I could like stare at him, and I was breathing the same oxygen he was. It was crazy.
Oh my god!
I felt touched.
So of course, you know, they had the Osaka event, you know, a couple weeks ago. So everyone was kind of worried that there wouldn't really be anything to announce. You know, for this fan fest, but they actually had something pretty cool. They brought up the screen. They showed the Play Online website, and they get this little like IM message that popped up, and the person on the other end was asking if they wanted to play Final Fantasy XI, and then the guy said that he already was, and they barred down the window and showed the guy actually dragging open where the live camera was on the website. And this was the very first sign that we've seen of the official windower.
Play the clip.
And everybody freaked out. Everybody freaked out.
Play the clip, and then I have a story.
Sorry, man. He said, was that the window mode? Of Final Fantasy XI is finally available. As you can see here, setting the size of the screen is easy.
Easily resizable screen is always a plus.
By holding down Shift while you can adjust the window size without changing the horizontal and vertical ratio. For security reasons, the option is not available here on the Artan tour, but don't worry, it will be ready next Tuesday.
That sounds so awesome. Next Tuesday, Final Fantasy XI, windowed mode.
Okay, right. So I'm sitting at work and I get a phone call. My cell phone goes off and Fusion's like, stay, they announced a windower. I'm like, oh my god, yes. It's like, update the site.
And at the same time, it's like, we all knew it was coming, but we're all like, yeah, right. Everyone's like freaking excited. I think it was kind of clever how they did it too, because when they showed the website, like I noticed that there was like the Windows tab bar, like around the web, like the live cam thing. But it didn't really occur to me. For some reason, and then they like go and drag it open. I was like, "Whoa, like, that was pretty cool!"
Then, awesome.
Yeah. After that announcement, they had I think it was Kenichi Iwao came up and talked a little bit about the history of Vanadil, since obviously you know history is going to play a big part in this expansion. He talked about how Taru at one point pretty much pwned all of Vanadil, which was pretty cool. They also talked about how at one point I think it was Sandoria teamed up with what was it the Kodav. I think to kick some butt for a little bit. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of pretty cool stuff back there. And then
I need you to help me defeat Ataru.
Yeah, it's like, excuse me, Mr. Turtle Man.
I need you to use your monstrous girth to help me defeat Ataru. Yes.
With their Domo-like heights and...
There you go. So after that was pretty much it for the morning announcements. So after that, we broke up. We formed our party. It consisted of me, Tai, Ryoku, his friend. Wow, this is horrible. Whose name totally eludes me at the moment. And then our friends, Autopsy, and Yellow Blue Bus from none other than Bahamut. We had coffee in there as well. So that was pretty cool. So we signed up, we registered our party for a live quest. And then right after that... we went upstairs where they were holding the Heroes and Heroines combat.
And okay, for those of us who don't know, what exactly is Live Quest?
Live Quest is basically, for the most part, I got the sheets right here. They give you what would happen in the Gabby bag they give you. One of them is a Live Quest sheet that, you know, you put your name and your server on or whatever. And then it also has descriptions for quests. And then, so what you do once you form your party, you get a group sheet, which is pretty much, you just put everyone's name on it in the party. The group sheet really is not, I don't realize the point of it, since, you know, all you really need in the end are the individual sheets that they give you. But I guess it's kind of, you know, I'll keep it obviously as a little souvenir. And, here's the list of people on the, in the party. Oh, I forgot a couple of people. Fusion, Tide, Mr. Coffee, Yellow Blue Bus, Autopsy, Boshek, Ryokun and Prehemensi. That was we met so many people there. Like, I'm never good with names either. But so what you would do is you would have to go. There were two kinds of people in Final Fantasy shirts. There were black shirts, which was Square Enix staff, and then there were green shirts, which were the mercenaries, which were the volunteers. Okay. And the ones that we wanted to talk to had a sign around their neck that said NPC number. I know I think there's a picture up in the gallery with me and NPC 6.
Six?
It was 6, yeah. We were chilling a little bit. We were having a good time. And what you would do, you'd go up to them and you would, flag the quest, so to speak. They'd give you a sheet and it would, you know, describe the quest. And then if you flip it around, it'll give you something you had to do. Either, you know, it'd be like a puzzle or a list of, you know, things that you had to obtain or, you know, something.
And they were pretty challenging.
Some of them were extremely difficult. There was one, it was almost like a Minesweeper thing where you had to recreate images of like the status effect icons.
Yes.
That one was a beast.
So,
we already have our prize. So, thanks for helping us out, Starin. that was pretty cool. We got,
that sounded facetious.
We saved some time from getting some. We got PL'd for that one. We'll say we got PL'd for that.
Okay.
So after the opening ceremonies, we registered our party. Right after that, we went up and to the fourth floor to do some Well, originally our intent was to do some heroes and heroines combat. There was actually nobody up there. I don't think anyone knew quite where the place was yet, since it was the first day.
That was kind of hard to see as well.
They set us down. You know, there were six. You can only have six people in the fight, obviously. So they sat us down at six computers. Each one had a different job on it. So, you know, we shuffled around after we sat down and, you know, realized that, you know, I don't want to be a thief. Ty didn't want to be a warrior, you know. So we reshuffled it. I ended up getting on a monk because this is something that I had been kind of worried about the whole time. Like, for these fights, you can pick from the six basic jobs in full AF and, you know, no sub jobs. So it's kind of like, you know, if you've never really taken up any of these jobs, like, you know, you're not going to really be familiar with them.
Yeah.
You know, even like I was contemplating warrior. I'm like, well, my warrior is the highest out of all these jobs, but at the same time, I'm not going to want to tank.
Right.
So I thought, you know, I'd go with monk, do some damage, whatever, you know, not the end of the world. Sure. So we sit down and there was a mistake and we actually went into mercenary camp first. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of went with it. It was pretty interesting. I remember I was reading back from the Osaka stuff, and I heard that a lot of people had a problem with mainly the white mage Mithra general.
Mithra.
Yeah, because she liked to use Hexastrike a lot.
Yes.
So we get in there. I'm like, let's pull the cat. Let's get her out of the equation, and let's just see how it goes from there. So we got her down. She used Benediction. So I ended up 100 fists in her just to get her out of the way quick. Then Zezarg, the monk Galka, came up and started punching us in the face a little bit. We took him down. It started getting a little bumpy. And then the black mage guy came out and...
You got to explain this.
We died.
This here. No. We didn't die. People died, you know, left and right. And the thief was out there in the field. So, you know, the thief uses perfect dodge. And then, you know, the black man is like, huh, dodge this.
Yeah,
starts casting it on Daga 3.
Yeah, that worked out pretty well. But, you know, 2 out of 5 or something wasn't too bad. And actually, on a side note, too, I think they mentioned this on the second day, but it kind of goes along with what we're talking about. Somebody on the second dev panel asked, why isn't there a Taru Taru Serpent General?
Yes.
You know the teleport Taru in Azabi that keeps messing up? There was actually a backstory where he was going to help the generals in a mission in Mamook. And if he helped, you know, if they succeeded, he would be named the sixth Serpent General. So he waited outside for them. He was going to warp them back to town. They finally get up. You know, they come out of Mamook being chased by Mamul Ja. And, so he, you know, cast warp on all of them, and they ended up in the Jade Sepulchre, which everybody knows is, you know, the BC area in Mamook. Whoops. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why there's not a, you know, a Taru Taru Serpent General.
He casted warp on the empty stomach, actually.
Yeah, so,
is that what it was?
It's a shame.
Yeah, that's how he made this.
Yeah, it was pretty, interesting. Mm-hmm. After that, we moved down a couple computers and started. We were deciding if we wanted to do heroes or heroines combat. You know, the only difference is, you know, male, you know, head figures of a nation versus the female ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided we'd do heroes combat. And what I didn't know was we actually had a choice on how many we wanted to fight. We could go 3, 2, or 1. So us being the adventurous, brave people we are, we chose 1. we got into a fight with none other than Prince Treon, who'd like to one-shot people with his Savage Blade. Unfortunately, he only did this one time. So we were actually able to beat him. And, you know, I'm not sure how much bragging right it is, but we did clear the record. We beat the record for that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool. We were probably the first ones to do it. That's probably why. But whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it says right there.
Your name was on there.
Cleared the record. I got a photo of it up in the gallery. So that was pretty cool. And then another thing, too, when we got our Gabby bags, inside were a few tickets. A couple of these, they had Atamos Challenge, which I think we'll go over in part 2, since that's when everything was kind of announced. They have stuff for, you know, giveaways. And then another one was for what they call the Taru Taru Marathon.
Yes.
Which is basically, this year it was a little different than it was last year. Basically, there was 30, right?
30 Taru Tarus.
Yes.
Naked.
30 level 1 white mage Taru Tarus in Mamook.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the goal was there was a Galka whose name was Cures for Sale.
Kiergyak.
You needed to buy a Cure Scroll out of his bazaar.
Cures Learn for it. Sale?
Yeah. You needed to get, and then you needed to go to the Gull, who is a Galka named Gull, obviously.
Nice.
Well, stretched out. So it was like, Gull. But Ty actually got picked for the raffle, so I'll let him talk about it.
So basically, you know, all 30 of us were just standing there. We really didn't know what to do. I guess Matt in the background was explaining all this to us while us oblivious Tartars were just sitting there with our headsets on, trying not to let the paper, you know, have to cheat, of course. And all of a sudden, the GMs out there were like, okay, they're counting down. 3, 2, 1. Like, okay, where did we go? We just look at the maps like, this is kind of vague. You know, everybody was running. The first thing we encountered was a Mamulja ninja. You know, so everybody was getting ninjutsu to hell after that. And we didn't really know where the Cure Galka was at first, even though we had maps. So, you know, we're running around. People were getting killed. And at one point, somebody shouted where the location was. And we're just shouting obscenities here and there. Nobody understood what was going on. But I'm pretty sure the crowd was having a very good laugh at it since, you know.
Matt was a very good narrator.
Matt was a very good narrator from what I heard. So, you know, these guys were, you know, sitting in a crowd. They didn't know what to tell them. So I'm just shouting random things. I'm pretty sure Fusion or Mr. Coffee picked up on it.
We found out which one Ty was after he told people to get to the Rafflecopter.
Get in the chopper.
But
so
it was
the
mess.
Outcome? What happened?
Nobody actually made it. So the winner was decided who got the closest.
Yeah, okay. Let's see here. The person that basically got killed at the same spot, everybody got killed at near the end, basically. There was his final turn, and he was making a turn. He didn't really see where the end was. He got aggroed by something. He got killed there, and he was first place. And the guy right behind him, who died as well, got second. And basically, nobody touched the Gold Galka. Yeah. Nobody was even close to, like, even seeing him. Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
Well,
one of the funny parts, too, is when they were talking about how they were preparing this event, they had said that I know they're having problems with the bazaar Galka getting killed, but that it was okay because you could still get stuff from his bazaar.
Oh no,
that was pretty funny.
And they give you 1K, you know, to buy the cure scrolls for 1K. You know, they only give you 1K because you know you don't obviously you don't want
somebody somebody buying all the cure scrolls.
Which would have been funny anyways.
They planned it out pretty good.
And as they said, they had problems with it at work, so I'm going to assume that one of the employees actually did that.
Yeah. I think they did. They said that that happened when they were testing it out at the office.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Stuff.
Funny.
The prizes were amazing. Third place, you know, got headphones and a wireless controller. Second place, headphones? I don't know.
Maybe it was just the headphones, and they went to a... the headphones, a webcam, a controller, and then I think first place for everything, I think, was a brand
computer.
New PC.
Brand new spanking computer.
Pretty damn cool.
And if I knew about it, I would have been like, I'm gonna just keep running.
I would have, with my luck, I would have won it and then been like, how am I getting this home?
That's what I said.
Yeah. But so that was really cool. I think that was right after lunch or so. Mm-hmm. So shortly after that, we got into, second presentation of the night, which was job adjustments. And one of the first things they said is something that I really did not want to hear about two-handed weapons.
We have up next something very exciting. We have our second presentation of the day. And it's on a topic that a lot of you guys are going to want to listen to. So everybody make sure you head over here right now, because I'm pleased to announce two of the hardest working battle planners we have are here today. Akahiko Matsui and Mitsutoshi Gandai, please come to the stage. Let's give them a warm round of applause.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about the changes and adjustments to existing jobs. After the last version update, we received many comments regarding the adjustments made to two-handed weapons, such as maybe we had over-adjusted certain attributes a little bit. So we'll be making further adjustments to compensate in the coming update.
ごめんなさい.
He's very
I'm
sorry.
So sorry.
You know, it kind of I like how they apologize too. It's
like
we're sorry that you hate us for life. Our bad.
He's like, oh man,
he's not happy. And the thing I hate too is they specifically mentioned
Samurai
and Saboros. I'm like,
no, yeah.
Like I just you know started to enjoy it, but they also went through you know adjustments for all the other jobs they had planned, so we'll go and run down that really quick. Warrior, they say they want to give an ability that creates a benefit for claiming a monster. They also want to give something like a counterattack so that if the warrior gets hit or aggroed, it would do some damage back and give it TP.
Yeah.
So that should be pretty cool. You know, they're trying to buff up Warrior a little
How bit. How would you give a benefit for claiming a monster?
That is a good question.
Something like Flash for Paladins, right?
I can't recall. I don't even know if they hinted at that.
They never really said.
If you provoke and you claim a monster, you get 50% TP right off the bat.
Very nice.
I don't. I got enough.
For Monk, the idea they had is they wanted to reduce TP given. They were thinking about adding something to kicks, like some way to... you know, maybe like a new weapon skill or a battle stance that'll slow kicks down, but it'll slow overall attacks, I'm sorry.
Right.
But it'll increase the rate at which kick attacks show up.
Show up.
Which would be kinda cool. For White Mage, this is actually
I'm
already
happy about
out.
This.
The update, the big update was today. Mm-hmm. White Mage get Repose, which is a sleep spell.
A white magic sleep spell.
Right, which is also going to be effective with Scholar Sub. They're also thinking about adding more teleport spells, which might have something to do with going back in time, or they might just toss out some more crystals randomly throughout Zanadil. Who knows?
Maybe I would love that.
I would like to see something in the Outer Gon region.
It probably will.
Nice, yeah. For Black Mage, a couple of the changes they talked about with these jobs, they were talking about skill chains. So they're going to look about lowering the resistance rate of skill chains in order to promote magic bursts. They're also talking about new additions to transportation for Black Mage.
Black Mages.
Red Mage was very interesting. They were talking about considering magic to allow Red Mage to be a frontline job. So all those guys that are stuck healing merit parties might possibly, maybe... not do that as much.
Probably do more.
We'll see. That'll be one of those things where people, you know, Red Mages will be excited, but everyone else will be like, get your ass back there and cure.
yeah, right. And it'd be like 75 Red Mage who's like back there doing all
like
that stuff.
Sub ninja and, like,
and then it's like, oh my gosh, my sword skill is zero.
No.
Like, oh my god. Yeah. You mean I have to fight?
Yeah, there you go. For Thief, they added a new job ability called Accomplice that will steal a party member's enmity and transfer it to the thief.
This is very, very hot.
Yeah.
Because you can use that and then turn around and sneak attack, trick attack, something.
Which would be very nice. It would also be a really good way to, you know, if someone's getting hit, like if you got a mage in the party that's just getting punched.
But
you know,
that could be dangerous, though, because if you take that hate, you're getting hit.
Yeah, so, you know, if you got, like, a nin sub or you got, you know, perfect dodge up or something, that would be something to...
But it would be... It would definitely save the mages.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just transfer it to the tank with sneak... Or trick attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can't do that... Well, you can't really do that... you can with trick attack, but...
Right.
With sneak attack, you obviously have to be behind the mob, but if you have hate... It's going to be different. I think the thing is, it's like it's an idea to kind of take hate off of a mage until someone can invoke.
Yeah,
right.
thing.
One thing that I noticed too is if there's like two big things about adjustments you're looking at, it's hate control and trying to do something with skill chains. That's a big part. We'll actually get a little more into the hate and tanking thing tomorrow, on part two. So we'll save that for later. Another thing too, Paladin, you'll like this stake. They're considering giving Paladin a reflect spell to reflect damage from attacks blocked by shields.
Shields.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Reflect damage Okay. That's kind of cool.
Guy comes up and attack you. You like punch him in the face with your shield or something.
Remember, like way back in the day, like if you blocked something with your shield, it was just blocked. Mm-hmm. Like there was no damage done anywhere. So that'd be kind of cool to like reflect that. Good call.
Dark Knight. The original design for Dark Knight was an attacker with magic, so they're going to try and get more dark magic specific spells to use.
Verse
in
2.
Warp, can I have it?
Yeah. For Beastmaster, they're actually changing Beastmaster a lot again.
This is the hottest of them all, right here.
The amount of HP that'll be restored with weight will be greatly increased.
That's very hot.
Should be very exciting. They say a new pet command, Snarl, will become available.
This is the hottest only, thing.
I believe is what they said.
That's right.
It will transfer all enmity from the Beastmaster to the pet.
To the beast. Yes.
So it's in essence almost like a provoke.
That is really hot. Well, actually, I think the reason behind it is. All right, you're fighting, and then, you know, your beast is fighting with you, but you're doing more damage than your pet,
so
generally.
You're getting the hate, and you don't want to
so you
die.
End up getting the hate.
Oh.
Good stuff.
The leg.
Nice. Dude. Wow.
Oh, boy. Okay. And then they're also
Anyways.
Going to add new pet food to cure all status ailments. And they're lowering the recast on reward.
Ba-bow. That's really good. Because reward takes forever.
Mm-hmm. Next up.
Beastmaster's a hot job. I don't care what anybody says. I'm sticking by my guns.
Next up, we got Bard. New summons and abilities. And one of the most popular things of the night is a command to select a single target. For a song. We're going
hot
to also
stuff.
Make Bard busier by increasing the number of casts necessary.
So remember, all you Bards, learn how to control the ADD.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
For Ranger, which I don't think many people care about. You know, that's just my opinion, and I'll probably get a hate email somewhere for that. They're going to introduce a new ability called Velocity Shot, where range attacks are going to be faster and more powerful, and where it'll also in turn make melee attacks less powerful and I believe slower as well.
But Rangers don't care about that.
Yeah, well, some might. You know, who knows? For Samurai.
Oh, yes. Remember that one
time? I'm glad they apologized when they mentioned the two-handed thing. You know, okay. The concept is a profession, or, you know, is for a samurai is to, you know, build TP. Recent additions made samurai too powerful. There will be some adjustments. They talk about improving skill chains, so they would be, you know, reducing resistance to skill chains on the monsters or something like that. So that'll be cool. They specifically mentioned Saburo, which is a shame. I was having a lot of fun with that.
Right, because you got it.
Yeah. For Ninja, they were thinking about adding a ninjutsu with a sneak effect. As you know, there's already one with an invisible one. This probably is to go along with the ability the dancer's going to have to get sneak and invis together. They're also talking about a new ability which will reduce enmity and then restore it to its previous amount. Not exactly sure.
Well, if they're looking for it.
Wait, for Ninja?
Yeah.
For Ninja, yeah.
There were people in the audience were kind of like, okay.
That kind of makes sense. If you're out of shadows, you know.
Exactly. That's, you know, that's what I was thinking. I don't know if a lot of, you know, at the time, people were just kind of like, why would you want the Ninja to lose hate? But yeah, you know, if you lose shadows, you know, use this, get the mob off you real quick, recast them, and then, you know, it'll be restored.
Maybe improve sneak attack, because there's accomplice in that kind of stuff.
I'm curious to see how you know, how fast the enmity will be restored. I mean, that's a good thing too. You know, they're getting all these type of enmity creating abilities in here. For Dragoon, there wasn't a whole lot for Dragoon, but they talked about increasing the number of actions a wyvern can take in battle, whether that be offensively or defensively, and they're not sure how they're going to have that be controlled. If it's going to be something that the Dragoon, you know, that the player does, controlled, or if maybe it'll be something that it just kind of does automatically. So that'll be curious to see that.
There's never really a whole lot for Dragoon. You ever notice that?
You know, except for that one.
When are we getting like new dragon skins?
That's what I'm wondering. Yes. Next up for Summoner, we'll actually have something about this a little later in the episode.
Yes.
They're going to get a new ability. They're going to also, they're thinking about restoring MP by using Elemental Spirits. They say the ability might also be tied to days of the week and weather, which would make scholars popular with summoners. There will also be an announcement on Summoner, you know. Also, it was later tonight, or later then, I should say, on that night. Blue Mage, obviously new monster spells. So, updates for that are supposed to be coming out with the first update of 08, which should probably be late first January quarter, or February or so.
Yeah, first
for
quarter.
Corsair, obviously two new roles for Scholar and Dancer. They're also going to add an effect to Quick Draw, so they can charge up the shots like Scholars can. Again, updates are going to come out, first update of 2008. For Puppet Master, there's not a whole lot there. They're, you know, considering new automaton weapon skills and new attachments and adjustments to existing ones. So yeah, that's a lot of information, a lot of cool stuff. Some things are kind of a little questionable, I think.
A little vague.
Overall, they want skill chains back, and they want, because there's no third job, there's no tank job like people were hoping for. So it sounds like they're making it a little more possible for, you know, hate to get bounced around a lot. So, you know, people can tank if need be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, bounce hate around a little bit. So that'll be very interesting to see how that works. And it looks like, you know, with the ninja ability and, you know, accomplice, like maybe that can work together somehow. It'll be very interesting to see how that all goes together. And then right after that presentation was the first dev panel for tonight. And they went ahead and they brought out all the dev team.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what we had for who was there this year.
The first development panel of Final Fantasy XI Fan Festival 2007. Everyone's all excited. I know the dev team is. So without further ado, let's bring them out. Director of Treasures of Ottergon, as well as the director of the new Wings of the Gods expansion. He has also been in charge of the world map planning since the beginning of the project. He loves listening to the cheers of fans more than anything else. FF11 director Koichi Ogawa. As battle director, he has been the main engineer of the battle system. Currently, he handles the data for Tankration and the Allied campaign. Akihiko Matsui. Battle designer for the new jobs of Treasures of Ottergon and the Wings of the Goddess. He is also in charge of job adjustments, merit point system, and even monster motion sequencing. Mitsutoshi Gandai, director of the community and service department that ties the players to the development team, unifying the GM teams across the world as well as the information centers. Working within the online gaming sector since its inception, observing games from the community standpoint, he's on your side. Global online producer, Sage Sundy. It wouldn't be a lie to say that all that Vanadil came from the mind of this man. World-setting planner, Kenichi Iwao. There isn't an adventure in Vanadil who doesn't know his name. Head of the Final Fantasy development and management teams, as well as the designer of the in-game chat system, menus, and GUI, Final Fantasy XI producer, Hiromichi Tanaka.
That's pretty cool. They had a lot of people here. So they talked about what is Wings of the Goddess. They just, you know, it was during the Crystal War and all this stuff. And then they showed us that there's two things that are connecting us to the past. Obviously, one is the Cavernous Maw that we have already seen. And then they showed a picture of a certain cat-like person.
Cat thing.
Meow. Neko. Thing.
そしてもう一つがこのキャラクターです。おそらく思いがけないタイミングで皆さんの目の前に現れるでしょう。もし出会ったらちゃんと話を聞いてあげてくださいね。
The other lies with this character. Who knows when your paths will meet, but when you see her, make sure you listen closely to what she has to say.
Wow, I think we all are taking a look at the screen and we all might know who that might be.
So that was pretty cool. They talked about lining up Bonneville history, as everybody knows. You know, this expansion pack is about the past. So, you know, obviously when they're doing this, they want to make sure that things flow, you know, whether it be, you know, history of, you know, whatever, names, places, or people, you know, or historical events. They want to make sure that, you know, there's not one, you know, NPC somewhere that's saying this happened, then they go off and do, you know, something else. Mm-hmm. So actually they put it, they probably put it better than I'm saying right here, so let's listen in on this clip.
I also heard apologies like, we shouldn't have made the history of the Dragoons like that. Or, whose idea was it to make the Galka reincarnate?
I can't even imagine having to go back and check all that stuff over and over again just to make sure it all fit.
He makes a good point. Why do Galka reincarnate? Like,
who knows? It's totally random.
I don't get that. That's kind of weird.
Tight subligar probably do not allow for proper flow of blood. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about lining up history, but yeah, they went into a campaign that we've already heard a little bit about. They split campaign up into four groups. Campaign battles, which is the purpose of those is to drive beastmen out of areas to gain controls of zones. It's similar to besieged. Yeah. Very similar to like sanction. Benefits of controlling areas will be a XP bonus, and you'll get campaign points. Mm-hmm. Number two that they had was campaign ops, missions offered by each nation, which will be very interesting. Availability for these missions will depend on a number of factors, so that will be cool. And another nice thing to see with this, too, is they're trying to make it so that more people can do these, because I know there's a lot of people for Assault, for example, that, you know, they're still sitting at, you know, private first class or something. And they
there's
can't
no
find
rank.
People to do things with. Right. No well, we rank. Don't know if there's no rank for sure. They might, oh. they could, mm. you know, toss something out at the last second, but what we do Maybe. Know for sure is that only the player who signs up for campaign ops will spend credits. If you help people, you won't spend your credits, but you'll also be able to go along with them and get the rewards.
Yep.
And some of these ops can be completed
solo,
or done extremely quick and available to low-level players.
Very
which
cool.
Is very nice. It'll make a lot of people happy.
Yes.
And then the third part of the campaign here is headhunting. They talk about how there are NPCs around Vanadil called freelancers, how you need to headhunt them and get them to join you in battle. And they talked about a couple of freelancers that you might be able to recruit onto your side.
All right, there are several unique NPCs called freelancers roaming about Vanadil. These freelancers have not pledged allegiance to any of the three nations. By headhunting them, the NPCs will temporarily join your nation and fight alongside your nation's forces in campaign battles. For example, maybe someone that all the Beastmasters have heard of, the pet food pioneer, Moe, or even this famous character, Mott. He's old 20 years ago, in the past, too.
Even 20 years ago, he was still old.
He never changes.
People were wondering, like, we're gonna see a young Matt? No, he's still an old guy. He's still
powerful because he almost kicked my butt.
Yes. Then they also talked about assessments, which is very interesting. They said you can give guidance for your nation on how they should do battles and, you know, that kind of stuff, which is kind of cool. There's a way, you know, it'd be a way to kind of pool, you know, guys, let's go for this area, or we should, you know, focus on gaining control over this, you know, section of Mindardia or something like that, which is something that I think would be kind of cool with Conquest right now. I know we logged in after we got back from FanFest, and Winders had control of Ronfar and Gustaberg, and Sandy had control of Saruta. I don't know what the hell happened, but
I enjoy it.
Oh my gosh, I wish that would ever happen.
I know. It was pretty. I wasn't sure what was going on, but whatever. All right, I'll go with it. And then after that, they talked about special events. Sage Sunday came up and talked about how, you know, it was his idea to bring in these seasonal events that we have. They were talking, you know, they showed us images for New Year's event furniture pieces, which are going to be snowmen. So that was pretty cool. And then he explained, it was pretty funny, he explained to us what happened the first time he had, tried to get this across to the development team.
During one seasonal event, when we were still testing it, we got a bug report that said that there was a Gulka searching for his boyfriend. But it just turned out that it was supposed to be a human female and the planner had the wrong model NPC. But needless to say, it created a lot of excitement among the dev team.
Okay, like 6 years ago, when I first joined this team, my main job is to make our community happy. So how I did it first was to bring a seasonal event into the game. And so I can give some kind of interest every, once or 2 months. So I explained what I have in my mind to the dev team, and I still remember their first reaction. What the hell are you talking about? We are so busy. That was their first reaction. So it took me several months to convince everyone, and finally they decided to do it, but all the nightmare begins. So yes, we made a few mistakes that included the monsters never drop his HP, even 100 people surrounding and beating him up. Or, too many people gather in one place and nobody can select the door and so on. So. Well, and in the past 5 years, and we learned some lessons and learn some new techniques, so I hope it's getting better.
What the hell are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about? We're busy.
I can see Japanese folks saying that. That's... Yeah.
After that, they went in and talked about some of the changes coming for future updates, which was obviously, today, because we're recording this on Monday night.
Right.
There's going to be, these are available to anyone, whether you have Wing, the new expansion or not. There's new macro pilots. There's 4,000 buttons now. They're divided into 20 books. Books, which is, it's crazy. It's a lot of stuff.
Overwhelming. I don't know. I'll probably just use it to spam stuff.
I don't know. I might sort them by jobs. I'm not quite sure how I'll handle this yet. Maybe I'll spend a couple hours and redo every single macro I have. Another thing they're doing, they're going to add new Gabby Bag quests to increase the total amount of items held up to 70.
That makes me extremely happy
after I just wasted a bunch of slots getting all the stuff from FanFest.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then also, which is also available now, you can go into your friend's mog house.
Yay!
I know I went and I checked out a friend's mog house of mine, and I may or may not have done a psych motion behind one of her mannequins.
Oh, boy. Exclusive.
Nice. Yeah. After that, they got into a pretty cool idea where they brought up the idea of custom events,
which was very cool.
Yeah, they introduced it. Let's play this clip here, which is kind of interesting.
Another thing that we have been hearing often is that players would like more support during their user-controlled events. When we thought about what we could do, we came to the conclusion that it was the GMs that could answer the players' needs the quickest.
GMs are getting a lot of hate.
Yes, they are.
No love for the GM.
Can you imagine if you were in that position and you had to deal with people whining all the time?
See, we know the truth, though, here at Pet Food Alpha. We know that the GMs are just, fun-loving people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are us. They're players like us.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. So don't play.
Don't be hating.
There was actually a lot of the people in black shirts were GMs, but, they couldn't say anything because they had to kind of be anonymous. But, no word. Shout out to the GMs. You guys are cool.
Really, though. Heck yeah, man.
Especially with this, if you guys are going to be assholes to the the GMs are not going to help you with these cool ideas for custom events. One of these.
Dude, I want to go up to a GM and call a GM and say, I would like to organize a giant game of Duck Duck Goose.
Dude, that would be great. One of the, I remember the they showed a video of it, because you know GMs have the power to pretty much put anything anywhere, and they were showing a group of adventurers. I think it was in Winter somewhere, and all of a sudden all these monsters spawned around them, which is very very interesting to see. Then they went into their Q&A session, which is pretty. We had some really interesting questions, some really cool. Things were unveiled during this. As we said, there was something coming about Summoner.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're ready for our second question.
Alright, will there ever be any new summons, and can you give us any hints?
あるんですが、そのことに関しては、喋るなと止められているんで、ここでは喋れません。
Alright, there are plans to introduce new avatars. However, he was informed by the planners still back in Japan, in charge, not to say a single thing about them. They're top secret.
Yeah, so there we go. Not one... but at least two new avatars.
Avatars?
Summoner. Avatars.
And they're absolutely G14 classified.
Which would be sweet. I'm not gonna speculate at what they may be. Alexander, Odin, Phoenix. But, you know, we'll see what happens when that...
What just happened?
Whether that, I think that'll probably be something that'll come out with...
You need a drink of water there?
I'm good. It'll probably be an update thing. I don't think it'll be something coming out right with the expansion, but don't quote me on that. And then
sweet.
I don't know if I'd say the highlight of the night, but it was definitely up there. It was a very interesting question was asked at the end of this.
Let's see our next question.
Can we get a cheese sandwich recipe? Wow, I think that's a great idea. You know, Mr. Tanaka, can we get a cheese sandwich recipe?
Yeah, I love cheese sandwich. Why don't you ask the planner?
He asked the planner? Okay. The first thing I do when I get back into Japan is I'm going to go to that planner and tell him to put a cheese sandwich in the next patch. I guarantee it. Check the next patch. Next year, there will be a cheese sandwich.
So now everyone here was a part of the cheese sandwich recipe.
That's right. Made here at the Fan Festival, the cheese sandwich.
Dude, I am so pumped for a cheese sandwich now.
Like, I wonder what the effects would be, you know? It makes you think.
Like, it'll give awesome plus 9,000 or something.
What if it's an item? Something you put in your mug house, you know, it's on a plate, it's just sitting there.
I want a cheese sandwich furniture piece, man.
You know, all glowing in its glory, melty, cheesy, aroma.
Maybe HQ it into a grilled cheese sandwich. if you guys are listening, Koji, man, like, hook us up. Grilled cheese sandwich HQ of the cheese sandwich. All right.
So that cheese was sandwich cool. At a fire crystal.
Yeah. There you go. So that was pretty cool. Afterwards, we got the chance to talk with Aniro from LBR. Of course, you know, right as we were doing this, the announcer came on and said we needed to GTFO out of the ballroom because they needed to clean. So that got cut a little short, but here's what we did get.
All right. So we're sitting here. We just got done with the dev panel in the second presentation, actually, at FanFest. They introduced some new job changes. They said there's going to be at least more than one new summon. I'm here with Limit Break Radio's Aniro. Aniro, what'd you think about it?
I think it's been totally fantastic. The dev panel really gave a lot of insight into, especially the new system, the new massive battle system, looks so complex and so deep and detailed. It's really exciting. A lot of the job adjustments that they were covering, some of them were pretty vague. Dark Knight, I mean, you know, my personal love. Not too much to get excited about there, but Kahlo is going to lose his mind when I tell him about this new thief job ability. It's going to be great. The job adjustments that they've got planned look really, really fantastic. I'm really looking forward to the expansion.
Yeah, it's okay. I hear you. Yeah, they're Gimbin Samurai, and they're I'm interested in what they're doing with Dragoon Wyverns, but we'll see how that goes. And another thing too is it's pretty epic. We witnessed the creation of a new food item coming out soon. The cheese sandwich. What do you think about the cheese sandwich?
The cheese sandwich. I gotta say, I will rock the cheese sandwich. I was hoping that they were going to start passing out cheese sandwiches for all of us. I thought that would have been really appropriate.
Well, they already gave us lunch, so we got to go on our own for dinner. That would have been too nice of them.
Yeah, that's very true. But
oh, I see how it is. All right.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, cheese sandwich. That's that's probably going to be one of the better things to come out of this FanFest. Is
awesome.
Best item ever made.
Good deal. So, final thoughts? Overall, you guys had a pretty good weekend. You know,
good weekend. Day one was pretty exciting.
Keep in mind, we still have a part two coming. It's got a lot of really cool information.
This is, you know, maybe
epic trilogy, maybe. I don't know.
The epic two-part trilogy.
The two-part trilogy of episode 75, yes. Which is like the cap.
It kind of worked out. It worked out that way. Part two, hopefully, will be coming out in the next few days. It's going to include our interview with Gahu and Mirian from FF Encyclopedia. We're going to talk about the concert that they had on Saturday night with the Smash Brothers. No, not the Nintendo game. that's what I was kind of like, Smash Brothers, what? But that was very cool as well. Pictures are on our gallery. I believe it's pitfordalpha.com/gallery.
Definitely check those out. They're very cool. A couple of group shots there.
Also, please remember that you're able to sign up now. So if you were able to win, please post your pictures there and show them off. This is very interesting, you know, once in a lifetime experience for us all. And yeah. It is
absolutely.
I know there was a bunch of people that took my picture that listened to the show. So post the pictures of me because I just want to see a full gallery of me.
No, don't do it for that reason. Do it because I have the hat.
Do it for the because hat. Don't do it for me. Do it for the Baffle Jerk hat.
Do it because you wish Steak was there.
Well, we do wish Steak was there, but that's
you should have bought a poster of me.
Steak wishes he was. Yeah, dude. I should have made a cardboard cutout, like a real size cardboard cutout of myself. So you could have just walked it around.
That'd be kind of weird. I'm not gonna lie. That would probably just a little.
Be like, hey, Steak.
Little check weird. Yeah.
Or make like a, never mind.
All right. So there it is, part one of episode 75, FanFest.
Yes. The other part. As always, our email address is petfoodalpha@gmail.com. You can drop us a line with questions, etc. about this or part two of our series. Our website is petfoodalpha.com, and there is a link right on our website to check out the gallery, or go to petfoodalpha.com/gallery.
We're looking forward to seeing some pictures. We had a great time with everybody there. Again, shout out to Matt, Yasu, you know, everybody over at Square. You guys put on one hell of a show. And
congratulations,
we will see you in a couple of days with part two.
There you go.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Later.